soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Love. We are in January of 2009. And here in America, all of the experts are telling us that we are in dire straits. All the expert economists are telling us that we're headed for doom and destruction. They are telling us that the world's economy, if not America's economy alone, is going to collapse. And they back it up with proof. This week alone, two, if not three, of the nation's largest banks are on the verge of collapse. And this after receiving $45 billion with a B, $45 billion each in bailout money, which didn't work. They need more. The president-elect is asking Congress for something in the neighborhood of $380 billion with which to bail out mortgages, amongst other things. And he is proposing another, I think it was $700 billion with a B, to stimulate green jobs. And the naysayers, some congressmen and women and some senators, are saying that this will not be enough. They have the numbers so high I can't even count them anymore. Several trillion dollars. Just this nation, several trillion dollars in debt. And now borrowing from foreign countries. What we would call on a personal level, throwing good money after bad. You have the auto industry, the great giants, asking for their third or fourth bailout, threatening to close their doors within 30 days. Unemployment is at its worst in 10 or 15 years. The stock market, I see the Dow Jones and NASDAQ is headed south. People are standing in unemployment lines. Some states, like I believe it was South Carolina, were not even sure they had the funds to pay the people on unemployment. Everywhere, businesses are laying off people. Manufacturing in my state of North Carolina is laying off people in droves. Businesses are shutting their doors. They say this is the worst since the Great Depression. And in the Great Depression, if you will remember, when the banks failed, there was a run on banks for everybody to try to get their money, and with the doors locked and no money there, they lost their money. People with investments who were millionaires in their 50s, 60s, 70s, suddenly were penniless overnight, or had such a pittance left over that they would be forced to go to work. Yes, things are bleak indeed. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is a spiritual universe. What about spiritual principles? You know, last year or the year before, when things were moving right along and booming along, we were certain that Spirit, God's grace, was omnipresent, acting in my life and yours. That Spirit, that omnipresent Spirit, 24 months have passed by, and I need to know, where is that Spirit now? Did that Spirit move? Is the Spirit gone somewhere? Has the Spirit changed in its nature? Is there any less of that spiritual presence here now? Let me change the subject for a minute, and yet it all relates, so bear with me. About 4 or 5 days ago, I got into my car. It was like any other day. My son-in-law was in the back. My wife was in the passenger seat. And I headed down the mountain. We're in the mountains here in North Carolina. And this particular road is rather steep. You have to be a little bit careful, particularly when there's the possibility of black ice on the road, which is when it rains the night before, but it's not cold enough to snow, and the next morning it freezes and that water becomes slick. Well, they had plenty of warnings in the over the local weather stations about the possibility of black ice. Anyway, we're driving along in this down this road, a two-lane highway, and someone passed me going a little bit slower than I. I came up to an intersection. I had to wait for them to pass. They passed. And I turned onto the street behind them. They were up ahead. And I said to my son-in-law, I just wanted to let him get a little bit ahead. Because, meaning, I like the challenge. And I hit my foot on the accelerator and zoomed on past that guy. And as I came around a curve, I went over the edge of the embankment. And it's 2,000 feet below. And my last thought was, I wish I hadn't have done this. I wish I wasn't showing off and I especially wish these two people that I love weren't with me. And just before I crashed below, I woke up in my bed. And it was morning, and everything was okay, except perhaps my heart was beating a little faster. I had just had a dream. I had just experienced a dream. Somewhat frightening. And as I sat there, with my eyes open in bed, realizing it was morning and it had all just been a dream, how wonderful it was to be safe under the down comforter which I have, laying there with my head on the pillow. I hadn't hurt anybody. Now, that's the experience we have when we recognize, after having a bad dream, that it was just a dream. It was all just a dream. Everything is okay. And isn't that quite wonderful? I'm sure you've had that experience before. If you are suffering, full of fear about this economic crisis and your place in it, you're going to have to find a way to wake up, aren't you? You're going to have to find a way to awaken. And we who are practicing spiritual principles, particularly those of the infinite way, have been given the way to do just that. We have a way to awaken. So if you are experiencing this fear, like I was in my dream, if you're experiencing regret, if you're experiencing panic, or even if you've been laid off of your position, if you see no way that you can possibly survive, or if you see your family or your children or your grandchildren as coming under this national crisis, let us turn now to see what the spiritual principle is, or what the spiritual principles are, which will extricate us from this dream. Let us see if we can't find how to awaken. Close your eyes. Become as still as you can. Listen. Don't think. Try for just a little while to just listen without any judgments. The first principle is to look this problem square in the face. I'm not going to deny this problem. There's a problem here. There's the appearance of a crisis. It certainly looks frightening. And where is it? Where is this problem located? The first step, take the problem out of the world. Which is called impersonalizing. But never mind that term. It may have no meaning. Take this problem, this crisis, this problem that's appearing to you through all of your senses, hearing, seeing. Take it out of the world. It doesn't belong there. It's not in the world. How do we know? What's our authority for that? God made all that was made, and all that He made was good. Was very good. The Word was made flesh. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Surely we know that God is all good. Therefore, God's world, God's creation, is all good, all of it. And there is no second creation. Then where is this problem? It's not in the creation of God. It's not in the world. The world was made by Him. This problem, this appearance of a problem, is not in the world. It's not taking place out there. It's taking place in my mind. It's an image, a mental image. It's a series of universal beliefs presenting themselves to my mind rapidly, very fast. I almost can't keep up with them. And so I see. I have taken it out of the world. I have it here now, presented pictures presenting themselves to my mind. A picture, a series of pictures of catastrophe. And so these pictures do not belong to anyone or anything out there. They're just pictures, floating, just floating, and I see them in my mind. Is there any substance to these pictures? Is God in these pictures? Is the spirit which I feel in my meditation, is that in these pictures? Is that spirit upholding these pictures? Is that presence I feel in my meditation, is that presence in these pictures? No, I can't feel the presence there. Then what is holding up these pictures? Nothing. They have no substance. They have no life. They are a substanceless thought, a substanceless misty picture. God is not in them, and we know it, because we feel no God there. Then if God did not make them, and God is not in them, they are made of nothing. nothing. The second principle is nothingizing, and maybe that means nothing to you. Maybe it makes no sense. What do we care? We don't have to understand that word. We just have to see why this mental image, which I now understand is in my mind, is not supported, maintained by anything. Unless you want to count the neurosnaps in your mind that are snapping off pictures, but that's nothing. It's certainly nothing eternal. So this presence I feel in my meditation is not supporting this. There's nothing supporting this. It's nothingness. And now I've impersonalized, I've taken it out of the world. And I've nothingized, I've seen it as nothingness. And so, what is the basic problem? The basic problem is something called hypnotism, which means that these pictures have my attention to the point where I am so enthralled with them, I can't pull my attention away. I'd like to pull my attention off of that. I can't seem to do it. They're fascinating. They're frightening. They're enthralling. They're scary. They have my attention fixed on them, and I can't seem to get it off. So, we come to our next principle. This is a mental image. It's not out there anywhere. God's world is perfect. And as a mental image, it has no power to support it. It's a nothingness. And yet my attention is fixed on it. So now what to do? Once I know it's impersonal and it's nothing, I may rest in God's Word. And what is God's Word? Son, Thou art ever with me. All that I have is Thine. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, this image is not out there and has no power, and so there's nothing to be done about it. I drop it. I'm going to take the third principle and rest in His Word. All that the Father has is mine. What does the Father have? I know the Father has presence. I feel it. In my meditations, I feel that spiritual presence, and so that presence is my presence. I know the Father has invisible spiritual substance. I feel it as my substance. I know that it has come, it is here, this presence, the Father, which will never leave me nor forsake me, has come that I might have life and abundant life. Whatever the God is as presence is flowing through me as my presence. Whatever God is as abundant life is flowing through me as abundant life. God has not moved. God is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. What am I doing trying to struggle to find this presence at the center of my being? No, I don't have to do that, and I know it. All right, then. Father, closer than my very own breathing, thy grace is my sufficiency. Thy grace. Thy grace forms itself through my consciousness as I let it. I am going to be still now. I am going to rest here. Father, fulfill thyself. Let thy spirit form itself. Reveal your promise. All that you have is mine. Let that all flow through. Thy grace. I rest, I wait, I behold, I watch. Father, thy grace flow, and I rest. No, I'm not going to think about that now. I'm not interested in that thought that just passed by. All that the Father has is mine. Father, you are here. You haven't gone anywhere. Let me be still. Thy grace. Yes, it is the Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom as I rest from any battles. Cease from all of that. I am here. God's perfect creation is in my very midst, and God is the only creation. God is this world, perfect in His image. God is my being, my individual being, perfect and in His image. God is my supply, the only supply. God is the only companion I could ever have. God is the only life flowing freely. And so, yes, yes, Father, fulfill thyself. I do not have to work on anything. I find my rest in thee. Grace. Just grace flowing. And now I agree not to put my trust in princes, no matter how high or how powerful. I put my trust in nothing out there. Now, Father, I put my trust in Thee. And here You are. I feel Your presence. Of course You never moved. For a moment I forgot Thee. Thank you, Father. Your grace really is my total being. You see, my friends, when we take the problem out of the world, we have impersonalized. When we see that the image, the appearance, has no substance, it's just a wispy thought, we have nothingized. And when we drop it, refuse to work on it, but rest back in the Father's Word, we experience the grace of God in our midst. And this grace does not change anything because the world's already perfect. This grace awakens you out of your enthrallment with the picture. Breaking the hypnotism doesn't mean changing an image. It means snapping you out of your sleep, awakening you out of your dream for a moment in which you feel the omnipresence of Spirit, in which you catch a glimpse of God as is. You feel God ising. You are awakened out of your enthrallment, out of the hypnotic effect of the picture. It doesn't change the picture because the picture is nothingness. It doesn't change the world. The world is made in God's image and likeness. It breaks your enthrallment with the picture, and you see for a moment the isness of God. And in the resting in that word, in that silence, as you awaken out of the dream, God's kingdom in your midst is revealed to you. And harmony becomes your experience, and grace becomes your life, and abundance becomes your state of being. You see that? You see how that works? All that was necessary for me to come out of the dream of driving my car over the side of a mountain and plunging to my certain death 2,000 feet below was to awaken. And the substance of the dream, that which was holding the dream up, is dissolved immediately. Don't you see that this crisis, this problem, is just like that dream? In your meditation, as you impersonalize by taking it out of the world because it's not there in that perfect world, as you nothingize by seeing there's no substance to it, as you recognize, I'm going to not deny that I'm enthralled with this picture, I'm going to set it down for a moment and rest back in the Spirit of God, and let God break that attachment, that momentary effect, hypnotic effect of the picture. And so I'm going to contemplate, dwell on and in the Word of God, and then rest in that Word. And then that Word reveals itself, and the hypnotic effect is broken. Oh, yes, that's right, God is. Yes, that's right, God is. I feel it. Thank you, Father, God is. Gosh, I was dreaming. The only thing that was holding up that dream was the momentary enthrallment. That's broken by the realization of oneness. Now, God is not a power that destroys your mental image. God is not a power that heals your life. No, God is a light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And as you rise up into the light in your meditation, the darkness dissolves. That momentary enthrallment dissolves, and you awaken. Oh, where have I been for the last week or two? Caught up in this crisis. I forgot God. But I'm okay now. Thank you. I'm okay. God's grace is my sufficiency. And I'm living by that grace, and that grace is living me. It is me. Yes, all that the Father has is mine right now. Always has been. Thank you, Father. Thank you for waking me up. It was just a dream. And now let me cling to you. Put my trust in you. The infinite invisible. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yes, right here in my midst is this I. Oh, gosh, that's much better. This is all there is to, well, awakening out of the dream. And if you get back into it in another day or two, or in another hour or two, if it pulls you back into it and you start dreaming again momentarily and you catch yourself, you come back within and practice the same principles. The principles are the same. They're in that book, Realization of Oneness. But reading them and closing the cover on the book and going about your life will not, well, they won't overcome the world for you. They'll stay between the pages of that book. And taking them and thinking about them, that won't awaken you from your dream. That would just be an exercise in, oh, intellectually, I understand this now. But understanding something mentally will not snap you out of your mental, I just have to use that word, enthrallment, because it's hypnotic as you're looking at it. Oh, my God. You know, it's enthralling. And thinking about these principles and coming to an intellectual understanding will not snap you out of that. Will not awaken you. If I had somebody tell me in my dream the other morning, if my wife had looked over from the front seat and smiled and said, "Don't worry, honey. This is just a dream." It would not have awoken me. It would not have woke me up out of that dream, would it? It would have still been a part of the dream. The mind that is enthralled, if it comes to an understanding, an intellectual understanding of these principles, still can't wake itself up. And so the art of spiritual healing will only come by taking these principles and actually practicing them on every little thing that comes along and presents itself to you. And you find yourself afraid or angry or lonely or full of pity or full of terror. Or even full of love. And by that I don't mean divine love. I mean the kind of love that attaches itself to a person and can't live without them, you know? So, any of these things that come along, this is where we must practice these principles. In the practice of them is where you are set free and where you awaken from your dream. There's no other way if you are in the infinite way. You see what the principles are? Number one, take the error, no matter what it is, person, place, thing, or condition, out of the world. That's number one. Number two, see within yourself, there's nothing upholding this image. There's no substance, nothing behind it. God's not in it. The presence isn't in it. I have never once felt this presence that I feel now inside of a mental image. A mental image that's causing worry or fear or anger. Never once have I felt that presence in there. No, I feel that presence at a moment I think not. And so I feel that presence at a moment I'm not in that hypnotic effect. So, principle number one is impersonalization. Take it out of the person, take it out of the world. Principle number two is nothingization. See that there's nothing holding it up. No substance, no cause, no law, no presence, no spirit, no God in it. There's no presence in it. Therefore, it's not alive. There's no life in it. And principle number three, it's time to rest in the Word. Rest back in the presence and the promise of Spirit. And it really doesn't matter what promise you rest in. Rest in His Word is the third principle. But there's no specific word to rest in. It will be given to you at this point in your meditation. In fact, that's the way you want the word to come. You don't want it to be a memorized word. Rest in His Word doesn't mean, and now, what's that scripture Bill said on his talk? No. What's that scripture Joel said? No. Or Herb said? Nope. No. That's not resting in the Word. That's trying to rest in another mental statement. And that won't do it. So principle one is, take it out of the person, out of the world. Principle two is, see that it has no substance. It's a substanceless substance. A substanceless image. There's no presence in it. It's not alive. It's nothing. And principle three is, when you reach that place in your meditation, you say to yourself, I'm going to drop it. Now, Father, Thy grace, Thy Word, and you rest. You are still. You're not fighting anything. You're just standing still. And something will come to you at that point within, from the depths of your consciousness. Something will come to you. The Word will come to you. Only it will be the Word. It will be alive and with power to awaken you, to snap you out of your hypnosis. And that Word may be Son, I am ever with Thee, and all that I have is Thine. And that Word may be, you don't have to work that hard. I am here. Let go. And that word may be, it's my pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that word might be, take no thought, I am here. And that word may be, I have come to give you life. You don't know ahead of time what that word's gonna be. But by following the first two principles, you prepare yourself for the third principle, which is resting in His Word. And then when you receive that Word from within, not from the mind, because by this time you've consciously stepped out of the mind with the first two principles, and you're just resting, waiting for the presence, for the Spirit of God. And when it speaks, it melts the hypnosis. The enthrallment is what it melts, and reveals itself as omnipresent. And it has the power to do that, to awaken you right then to itself. And you come into the conscious awareness that God is. It's a conscious awareness. You feel it. It's real. And the feeling of that conscious awareness appears then as your peace within and your harmony without. And that's all the world there is to awakening from these appearances. But it must happen in each meditation. And if you're unable to get to that point, then don't struggle with it. Wait for a couple of minutes to receive that word. And if nothing comes, just say, "Thank you, Father." Get up, do whatever you need to do, whatever's at hand, and come back to it again. If you will do this, you will awaken. You really will. I'm giving you the key to your own awakening. If you just listen to this talk and click delete and go on walking in hypnosis, it is a choice you are making. But there's a voice saying to you, choose this day whom you will follow, hypnosis or the Word. And if you would follow the Word, then you must follow the Word by this very process. And so what we are talking about has been called spiritual healing. But that's not really what it is. It's really spiritual awakening. And now you know. Now you know what to do. It is said that to many as receive Him, to them gives He power to become the sons of God. And that means to as many as do this and receive the Word, to them are given the power to see the Word manifest as the peace within and the harmony without, or as the Christ, or as the Son of God. In the Wisdoms, in the back of the book, The Infinite Way, my favorite is one that goes like this. Is alone overcomes the world. And something about that, from the very first time I read it, or second or third, it just grabbed me. I get this feeling inside when something is spiritually powerful, but that's not the right word. What's the right word? When something that's spiritually alive, I can feel it. There's a quickening. There's a stirring within, almost a vibration, like if you hit a tuning fork and you feel that hum. There's a hum inside, spiritually. I can feel it. It resonates in my being. And the first time, second or third time I read that, oh, I could feel this. What is this? This is one of those gems. Is alone overcomes the world. And now it's been many, many, many years. And I think I finally have the, well, at least part of the truth hidden within that statement. Is alone overcomes the world. You see, the reason why we were given the principles of impersonalizing and nothingizing was so that we could come up over and out of the mind into a place of stillness called consciousness. And resting back in consciousness, we could receive the direct word of God, or we could receive the direct experience of the isness of God. And that is, all by itself, with no help, overcomes the world. And so receiving that is, the awareness of is, within us, is what dissolves the dream and awakens us to itself. And now, one last thing in this note that Joel wrote himself in the Hotel Wellington in June of 1960, June 13th of 1960 at 7 p.m., number four here he has, harmony of a permanent nature can only be attained as the spiritual self is realized through impersonalization and nothingizing of the hypnotism or the carnal mind. Now, why is that important? Because to many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Joel gave us these principles. No, it wasn't Joel. It was Christ, through Joel, gave us these principles. Or Christ as Joel, gave us these principles of impersonalizing and nothingizing, that we may, through the practice of them, we might realize our spiritual self, or realize the spiritual self in our midst. Because it's through the practice of them that our spiritual self comes forward and reveals itself and lifts ourselves and lifts us up into itself consciously as an experience. To many, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So, you don't realize your spiritual self and stay hypnotized. It's through the awakening from the dream that you realize your spiritual self. All right, so, he has told us over and over that we don't pull God down into the human scene. We rise up into spiritual consciousness. I know you've read that dozens of times. Now, here's the meaning of that. You see the meaning of that. It's no use trying to realize God so God will heal this picture out here. If you're doing that, you're going against these principles. You're still hypnotized. So we can't pull God into the human scene. Right? Right. But by practicing, as we've shown today, taking the dream out of, or the pictures out of, or the illusion out of the world, it's not out there. Take the hypnotism out of the world by impersonalizing that way, and then seeing that it has no substance, the presence is not in it. It has no life. It's dead nothingness. By impersonalizing and nothingizing, then we sit still and say, okay, I'm going to drop this. Even though it has had my attention, my enthrallment, I'm going to drop it and do what it says to do in the third principle. I'm going to rest in the Word of God and just stand still here until I receive it. Now, when you receive that Word of God, you are lifted into, well, you're receiving spiritual consciousness. And as many as receive spiritual consciousness, they are given the power to become the sons of God. Or what Joel says here, as many as practice these principles of impersonalizing and nothingizing, then the spiritual self is realized. Don't you see that's exactly the same thing? It's exactly the same thing. All right, so now that you know what to do, it's in your hands. I have made this plain today, and I know I have. I've made it plain. Now, the thing for you to do is not to go and copy all my words. The thing for you to do is to use your own words. Whatever words that work for you. But the principle is the same, even if the words are different. And the principle is, take it out of the world. Impersonalize. See, it has no substance, no God presence, no life. Nothing eyes. Lift your vision. Drop it. You don't have to work on that. Rest in the Word. Be still and receive the Word. When you receive that Word, you awaken from your dream, from your enthrallment with the mental image, which was nothing. When you awaken from your dream, you catch a glimpse of God as is. And standing in that light, the darkness of enthrallment, of hypnotism, dissolves. The light is revealed, and you experience yourself as the Word made flesh, the Son of God, the expression of God's glory. And when you experience that, there's nothing to do but rest and say, oh, thank you, Father. I have awakened. Yes, all that thou hast really is mine, and flowing forth now into expression. This Word I have received today has become my living experience. This Word within is the peace, the harmony, the abundance, the joy appearing without. For they are now one, God's grace. Spirit has not moved. That's my conclusion. Spirit is just as much right here, right now, as it was 6 months ago, 1 year ago, 2 years ago. Spirit is right here, omnipresent. And all I need do is practice these principles and awaken, and I will be satisfied with His likeness. That is, I will know that the Word made flesh, well, that the Word has come upon me and is manifest in the flesh which is in my very midst, and it is indeed full of grace and truth. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much, Joel, for telling us these principles over and over. Thank you so much, Father, for being the truth that sets us free.